The VGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 490, recorded on January 15th, 2018. Welcome to the 490th episode of the Video Game Roundtable and the 223rd edition of Video Game Roundtable. I am Jonah Falcon.
I am TJ Denzer.
And I am Scott Dirk.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry. So yeah, there's a lot of news in the past week, but I'm just doing news from today. I mean, we could easily do the fact that apparently Trump gets his military information from the Call of Duty series of games. With the infamous F-52 fighter. Woohoo! Did you know we had an F-52 fighter? No, but he thought we did. Because he played Call of Duty. Or saw it in Call of Duty. I wonder if Activision's going to release a press release saying they do not support Trump. And they do not want him playing their games.
Or they advise him not to take military intelligence from their video games.
And try to brag about it in world issues.
Right. Also, we're not going to do a news story on it, although we will briefly mention it. Scott sent me an article about a Switch emulator being developed that can already play Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. So it's interesting. Ooh. But until there's actually one out there, you know, we'll talk about it. Although it is interesting. This is like in record time. It's only been 10 months since the Switch was released.
Yeah, I figured there'd be one eventually, and I was just wondering what's the ethical standpoint if you buy the game legally, but you use this emulator to play it on the PC.
Well, guess what? That was already dealt with 30 years ago, even more than 30 years, maybe 34 years ago. If you remember, the Coleco's expansion to its ColecoVision allowed people to pop in their Atari 2600 games and play in there, which I did with gusto. I loved it. Mm-hmm. Even though they had nothing to do with each other. That would be like having an adapter on your Xbox One to play PS3 games.
My knowledge of the laws regarding emulation is that if you already own a copy of the game, then it's legal. It's as far as I'm aware, like from what I've read. This is just what I'm saying. I'm not a lawyer. Don't go out there and do this and then get sued and then say TJ Denzer told me. Well,
which is ironic because Nintendo goes after anyone who makes their own software to run on their console. Their games. It's not like they're playing. They invented an old new homebrew and it's like, no, you can't do that. But I own the hardware. No, stop.
But yeah, the general rule I've seen is that if you don't know the game, you're allowed to have a ROM of a game that you don't own for 24 hours, and then you're supposed to delete it. If you have the game, you're allowed to have the ROM.
Anyways, what have you been playing, TJ?
I was at PAX South this last weekend.
All right. Did you do any board games?
I didn't. I didn't have time.
That's all I do at PAX, is play board games.
See, I started off my weekend wrong. I got terribly ill with an awful cold, and
did you get the PAX flu? Is that or did you initiate the PAX flu?
I suppose in this case I would have been patient zero. There's been a nasty little bug going wrong. My wife got sick, and then she got me sick, and then she got better, and then I got better, and then she got sick again, and then she got me sick again.
Oh,
that's why I OD on Dayquil when that sort of thing happens.
We've been through about two full packages worth of Alka-Seltzer Plus daytime and nighttime in the course of December and January.
Alka-Seltzer? Don't. That's for your stomach. If you're going to light symptoms, go heavy on Dayquil.
No. Alka-Seltzer Plus daytime, nighttime is basically Alka-Seltzer's version of Vicks NyQuil, Dayquil.
That's what they say, but I don't trust them.
It works, so.
What have you been playing, though?
So, I, pardon. I went to play Guns of Icarus.
Oh, okay. Wait. Is it Guns of Icarus? Oh, what's the co-op version?
It's called Guns of Icarus Alliance. I think. Hold on.
I know it's Guns of Icarus. It's Guns of Icarus Online, actually, is what the full name is. But yeah, I know what you're talking. And actually, I think I played the same thing. For those of you who don't know, Guns of Icarus is basically what Sea of Thieves is trying to be is trying to do, except with piracy. It's you and three other people are co-oping aboard a dirigible in a steampunk setting, and you're fighting other people. And someone mans the gun, someone mans the wheel, you know. And you're running around panicking as things are blowing up around you, and you have to set off fires and stuff like that.
Yeah, and you can play against AI-controlled enemy ships, or you can do PvP. Each player has a character class, so there's like engineer, gunner, and pilot, and each of them is better at a certain thing than the others. And PvP, there's been a lot of creative sort of designs in the way that people go about like which ship they use and what team composition of character classes they use.
You know what's coming, don't you? You know what's coming.
What's up?
You know what's coming. With this and then Sea of Thieves. Now, I know there's been a lot of bridge captain games in the past, but you just know if someone makes a workable version of this for Starfleet and you have people in their own starships and also Klingons and all that stuff, that'll be the end of the MMOs. That everybody will want to. And, you know, it's funny that not everybody wants to be the captain. Sometimes people just want to be in engineering. You know? It's weird, you know? And that'll be the full Star Trek MMO we're all been waiting for. Forget Star Trek Online.
Yeah, I mean Star Trek Bridge Control is it out or is it on the way?
No, I mean you had something like it on PSVR, remember? And there were some games that attempted it. You know, I mean the closest I could ever think of is like something like FTL, in which you're controlling all these people and they're moving into their own parts of the thing. But you know, can you imagine if you're in a full fledged battle? Your engineer has to do stuff to make sure that everything's, you know, and then you have coolant leak. We have a coolant leak. We have a warp breach coming. You know, that sort of thing.
How cool would a game of FTL be if everyone was like in VR and everyone controlled a certain part of the ship? Anyways, the big news about Guns of Icarus, this is a game that's been out for a while.
Yeah, it's been out for a very long while. But I know they have expansions coming out.
But the big news is that it's coming to PS4, and not only are they going to do cross-play between PS4 and PC, but they're also going to allow a cross-platform voice chat in-game.
Yeah, well, you know, this is their response to Sea of Thieves, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because Sea of Thieves is the big thing that's on Xbox One, and what's it called? They don't want a place. Sony doesn't want them eating their lunch, so to speak. And Sea of Thieves will have, it's because it's Xbox Anywhere, it is going to have, I forgot to, you know, here's the thing about Sea of Thieves, I forgot how much it's going to cost, if it's going to be free, if it's going to be half price, or if it's going to be full price. I have to check this. But yeah, I mean.
I don't really see it as a competition to Sea of Thieves, because you can't get off the boat in Guns of Icarus. It's really not a adventure game as much as it is simply a PvE PvP game.
State of Decay 2 is going to be $60.
Yeah.
That was a $30 game or even $20 game. I forgot, but it wasn't a full priced game. This is going to be interesting. I mean, they're including co-op. So, wow.
But yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's another zombie game.
Yeah, but it's more like a colony management. It's like Stardew Valley with zombies. Mm. And a lot of it is managing personnel, because there's going to be, these personnel are going to have 1,000 traits on them. I mean, 1,000 different types of traits that can be on them, you know. So a lot of it isn't the zombies. A lot of it is keeping your people happy and, you know, building up your defenses. Think of it as sort of like one of TJ's favorite games, Fortnite. But persistent and with zombies. Although Fortnite has aliens. Are they aliens in the game?
They're sort of like zombies. They're kind of zombies in the same way that you have zombies in Plants vs. Zombies.
Or demons or something like that, not zombies.
No, they're definitely zombies.
Okay.
They're zombies that come from a twister that come from an evil tornado from outer space.
Yeah, but that's what I'm talking about. They're aliens.
Sort of.
If they're alien zombies, they're still aliens.
I don't know.
Haven't you seen Final Fantasy, The Spirits Within? Those are alien ghosts.
Yeah, but these are like straight up cartoony, like sort of like the zombies from Plants vs. Zombies. They're actually not far different.
What have you been playing, Scott?
I've been playing more Dark Souls and some Minecraft.
You play Dark Souls?
Yeah.
Wow, that's unexpected. I never think of a Civ 6 player or a Minecraft player being into Dark Souls. I know that I know TJ is heavy into Dark Souls.
Yeah, it's a fun and entertaining game. I thought I talked about it in a previous episode where I fought in the first 5 minutes I fought a boss.
Now, wait, which one is this? Is it the first Dark Souls or the third?
This is Dark Souls 3. I'm still playing that. And it's a tough and challenging game. I've gotten farther now. I'm at the Cathedral of the Deep trying to find, I think, Aldrich or something like that. And it's fun.
Challenging. If you want, you should try Bloodborne if you're playing on a PS4, mm-hmm. because it has a smaller scope, but it just packs a lot more into a smaller area. Because one thing about Dark Souls, you can get lost.
Yes, definitely, very easily. Especially at the swamps, where it's all slow sludge, and you have all these trees, and it can be hard to see where things are because it's very wide, large area. And so, you could lose landmarks and not be sure where you're going.
I hate the swamp.
I hate
it so very much. I think I had this rant in the past. The swamp exists in some form in all Dark Souls games, and it's just a mucky, bullshit place that does nothing but slow you down.
With fries and gigantic eyes? Eyes?
Yes. Well, no, more importantly, it has this status, it's this place in every Dark Souls game that has a status effect where the more you walk through it, the slower you move, and it just slogs. It slows the whole pacing down, and I hate it.
You're walking through muck really slowly, you're poisoned, there's these frogs that shoot curse mist at you. If you stay too long, they'll instantly kill you. It's a pain in the ass area, but co-oping, I have to say, makes the game a lot easier, and that's what I've been doing.
Yeah, and it's not even close to a fun pain in the ass like some of the stuff in Dark Souls. It's just a dreary, depressing, slow area that makes you feel angry about everything you're doing.
Well, here's a question for you, TJ. Which do you prefer, then, Dark Souls or Neo?
Neo? Wait, what?
Do you prefer Dark Souls or Neo?
You know, I can't remember any sort of mucky area in Neo.
Well,
so,
Neo, it's in feudal Japan. I don't think they had mucky swamps then. If I remember in Neo, you're mostly in a cavern, and an underground thing.
You're all over the place. You go through castles, you go through wastelands, you go through fields of grass. It's mostly pretty beautiful, and I don't remember any mucky areas that caused me to get poisoned at every turn and slowed me down constantly. So, I think I prefer Neo.
You get doors that get angry at you if you don't pray to them, right?
Yes.
As for me,
and raccoons that wear their balls as a hat.
Ew. Anyways, as for me, I just got Okami HD. I haven't played it yet. I will. I've been playing Bioshock 2, and I've been doing another run of XCOM 2. And here's the thing. I've gotten to the point in which... See, XCOM 2 with the expansion, it's like I have all my guys upgraded with everything and the avatar counter. You know, the aliens have to add this avatar counter, and if it reaches full, that's it. Game over, you lose. It's at zero. I've beaten them back to the point in which it's a late game. I'm getting ready to storm the underwater thing, and their avatar counter is at zero, which means I've held them back so much, they haven't even started on their avatar project.
Nice.
It's hilarious. Find it funny. You know, and I'm going to tell you one thing. I can't wait for, you know, I'm still waiting for that Civ 6 expansion.
I heard people are pretty, I heard that the Kree Nation was actually pretty pissed about the representation of the Kree in the game.
Yeah, well, it's they're more pissed at the potential that you can make the Kree go to war. I'm pretty sure that most Indian nations, First Nations, did actually do war. So
yeah, well, yeah. You should tell them there's a game in which you have Gandhi threatening to bomb you with nuclear missiles.
But the thing is, you don't have to go to war to win this game. You don't have to ever conquer a nation to launch your spaceship or do a cultural victory. Yeah. There are peaceful options.
Wait, do it? Wait, I forgot.
Specifically, their qualm with it was that they viewed the progression in the game as regardless of which way you go, it's always going to be colonial, in which you envelop the land around you, and seek to envelop the nations around you. And they took issue with the idea of imperialism being applied to Native American culture.
Yeah, well, everybody's treated the same in the game. I mean, they just released Georgia with Queen Tamar, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people said that her powers are like, whatever.
What is her power?
Oh, Scott, you can answer this faster than I can. She's like...
Hold on, I gotta go look at what it was.
It's just that her powers are pedestrian, and they're not really useful.
Well, hold on, I have to look this up.
You know, let's not dwell on it, because, you know, it's not that important. So I'm going to be starting Okami as soon as possible. I've also gotten pretty far in Bioshock 2, you know, and this time I'm taking it slow and making sure that I rescue every sister, because I want that achievement. I know that I missed one of the audio logs for Historian, because I saw it. There's a point in which a place gets flooded and none of the doors open, and I saw it through the store window. And said, there's an audio log, and I'll never be able to get it. It's lost forever. So I'm not worried about that. Now I'm just worried about getting, rescuing every little sister so I can get that achievement. You know, I mean, I'll still get an achievement for rescuing all the ones that I see, but I want to be able to get the achievement for dealing with every single little sister in the game. I still don't know how I missed it in the first Bioshock. That, in like in a month or two, I'm going to play on easy, 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 just so I can slowly go through and, you know, use a guide to get all the Historian markers. Mm. And also all the research. I missed on two, and I thought I had gotten two of them. Also, I need to upgrade every weapon, so that means finding every single power to the people machines.
I feel like just... making a general statement that Tamara's abilities are, they could be for peacefuls, or she has a golden age bonus and she has war protection if, you know, she feels...
Yeah, see, that's the problem, though. We don't know how powerful the golden ages and the dark ages are in the expansion yet.
Right.
So we really can't judge.
My point was saying that they're saying the Kree are, you know, it's the game's all about imperialism and conquest, when I'm saying that's not necessarily true. You don't have to conquer other nations at all. I did peaceful.
I did turtling. I always turtle, yeah. So yeah.
Turtling is fine.
But like I said, it's alternate history. No matter what you do.
Exactly.
I mean, the Kree are never going to build the pyramids or the Statue of Liberty, you know, but they can in the game. Anyways, so we're going to move on to the first news item, and I just lost myself. Oh, dear. Where's my page? Oh, there's my page. Okay, so anyways, Battlefield 1 is setting one of its maps free this week, and this is from Destructoid. DICE is slicing off a piece of Battlefield 1's They Shall Not Pass DLC and setting it free. Beginning January 16th, everyone will be able to play the once-premium nighttime map Prise de Tahure. There's also a separate Gallipoli trial running from Tuesday, January 16th to Monday, January 22nd, that provides Battlefield 1 players with access to a portion of the Turning Tides expansion and other DLC maps, including those they found in They Shall Not Pass and In the Name of the Tsar. Basically, it's a way to get people reinvested in time for this new this month's new Turning Tides content. The Heligoland Bight and the Zabrogi maps, the British Empire Royal Marines, and the C-class airship. One thing about Battlefield 1 is that its star fell off kind of quickly, you know? People were really excited until it was like, oh, well, this is not like World War One. It's like World War Two, except with cheaper weapons.
It was in that thick space with Titanfall 2 and Call of Duty.
Not even that. I mean, they used machine guns, and machine guns weren't big in the 1910s, you know?
Yeah, even from the get-go, I was hearing that there was a lot of balancing issues with people spawn-killing from across the map, sniping.
Sniping wasn't a big thing in World War One either. You know, I mean, you should have the cavalry and people with swords, and, you know, because that, you know, World War One, and also, here's the thing about World War One. It was not World War Two, and then World War Two, the lines were drawn pretty clearly. Axis and Allies. In World War One, it was a mess. You just had, this country was allied with this country, therefore when they went to war with this country, they had to support them. Oh, but wait, their other ally was this country and that country, you know, it was just a big sloggy political mess. Which is
why... Europe was horny for war.
What?
Europe was horny for war.
I mean, there was no clear lines, and you didn't know who, you know, you needed a scorecard to figure out who was after what. You know, it was ambiguous. World War II is delightfully unambiguous. The Axis were evil, the Allies were good in terms of their goals, because the Axis invaded and the Allies were pushing back. Now, I'm not going to talk about it on the soldier level, because that was a slog as well, but I'm just saying in terms of sides, you know, the Axis were the aggressors, and they were basically saying, we're going to take you over. While in World War One, it was like 50 Vietnams going at once.
Yeah.
And then
there was No Man's Land.
And all people really remember is Gallipoli. How fast can you run? You see steel springs, just like steel springs. Yeah, I think people were hungry for something different, and all they ended up with Battlefield.
Yeah, and I mean, the cream rose from the crop, and the cream was Titanfall 2.
Yeah. I mean, I started Titanfall, you know, what soured me on Titanfall 2 is the single-player campaign. I got to a point in which I was not able to beat one boss, and I just gave up.
Just got to knock that difficulty level down a notch.
I did, and I still couldn't beat him, because...
Really?
it was on the friggin' ship, and, you know, and for whatever reason, what's it called, I just could not, I think I don't have enough health or whatever, you know, in terms of health restores or whatever. It's just annoying, and I gave up.
Oh,
maybe at some point I'll come back, or I'll start from scratch. Anyways, we're going to move on to the next item. Go ahead, Scott.
Lego Incredibles 2 and DC Villains games reportedly in the works. This is from videogamer.com. Warner Bros. Is reportedly planning on giving two popular franchises the Lego treatment, according to the latest internet rumblings on comic book.
Stop, first stop. You said Warner Bros. Now I'm thinking about Lego Batman.
Warner Bros. Yeah, I like Warner Bros.
Okay, you want me to start over then?
No, just continue. Okay. It's just funny.
The first effort, supposedly titled Lego Incredibles 2, will launch this summer and will tie in with Pixar's upcoming movie sequel. Details are pretty thin on the ground right now, although considering this will be the first LEGO Incredibles game, not to mention the first LEGO title based on a Pixar series, then it's conceivable the title will be recapping the events of the original superhero flick, as well as covering its follow-up. It's worth mentioning that the last August, a number of LEGO Incredibles 2 merchandise was said to be in the pipeline, including a catalog of items that mentioned an untitled video game based on a mystery Pixar property. This gives further credence to today's reports, although an official word remains elusive. Elsewhere, WB is also said to be chiseling away on a new LEGO title based on the iconic DC Big Bads. Again, details are scarce, although it's believed the project, rumored to be titled DC Supervillains or DC Villains, will feature the likes of Harley Quinn, the Joker. According to the comic book sources, the game will launch within the next 12 months. As expected, both titles are reportedly in development at TT Games, who have handled all the major LEGO games since it adapted Star Wars back in 2004. No platforms have revealed, though we imagine it'll be a multi-platform affair.
Yeah, you know, the Traveler's Tales LEGO games are on every single platform you can think of, including ones you probably don't think of.
Well, that's exciting.
Nothing official has been announced. You know the reason for this, right? Disney Infinity is no longer around, and Disney's thinking, you know, we need a platform to show off our property. Oh, well, everybody does LEGO, so guess what? We'll do LEGO.
Yeah.
You know, if there was no if Disney Infinity was still around, they would be doing Incredibles 2. Things Incredibles like 2 for that.
Yeah. I gotta say, if Incredibles 2 isn't good, it'll disappoint me more than most movies in the last.
You know, I seen the trailer, and years. I really don't give two shits about Jack.
Aw, but
I really don't care about Jack.
I care about Jack.
I care about Jack. Either he's gonna be the one who saves the day, or he's gonna be the one who's kidnapped. In either scenario, I don't care.
Or they turn him to the dark side.
Yeah, that's even worse. You know, I have no interest in a sequel to The Incredibles, no matter what you think of The Incredibles. You know?
Well, it's almost like it's a movie made for children, so,
it's
I mean...
It's not that it's made for children. I mean, here's the thing. Pixar's been forced to make a sequels. You know? I mean, did you really need to see Monsters University?
I wanted a sequel to Incredibles 2. I did not want a sequel to Monsters or Cars or whatever the other one was.
Do you want a Toy Story 4? Because that's coming.
Yeah, but the real big difference is that the ending of Incredibles was totally built to build something onto
really,
it.
It was just like, oh, okay, that's it. It was a nice way to end. Now, I'm not the biggest Incredibles fan. You know, I thought it was okay. I don't worship it like some people do. But the way it ended was that, boom, you know. Actually, I would have preferred if they had just ended on him deliberately losing the race and just leaving it there.
They ended it like they ended Fantastic Four, where the mole people were attacking and
yeah,
there's like
that,
a new
that,
threat.
That's not a good. That's not a good film to make an analogy with.
I don't know. No, I meant Fantastic Four from the comics, not the movie. The comics, that's how like their first story ended, was that, you know, like, what do we do now? And then there was a new threat, and then they, you know, went off to go deal with Mole Man. And, you know, that's basically how The Incredibles is. They have a new threat now. And
you know what's interesting? Like, is that Psychonauts 2, remember, I don't know if you know how Psychonauts ended, but it ended with, oh, what's it called? She's being kidnapped. We have to do a mission. Guess what? Psychonauts 2 says, screw that. We're just starting from scratch. We're not going with a cliffhanger. That was just for fun, you know, which I like.
Then they totally made Rhombus of Ruin and bridged the gap between Psychonauts 1 and 2.
Well, that was the entire point, though, to say, you know what, that ending to Psychonauts, ignore it. We don't care.
Probably because it's been so long, they no longer care about that storyline.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. I am ambivalent about DC villains. I mean, if it's as fun as the other, you know, DC Marvel, you know, DC Marvel comics games, that's fine. And I don't know what those DC villains and the Marvel super, you know, DC and Marvel games for LEGO. They're almost plotless. Yes, they have a plot, but you don't really care. What you care about is going to the planet and rescuing Ambush Bug. So you can have Ambush Bug as one of your characters.
Hmm. The only thing that The only thing that bugs me, I am a huge Incredibles fan. I would go as far as to say it's my favorite Pixar movie, only because, everything came together for me so well when I first saw that movie, and I've watched it several times.
My favorite Pixar movie wasn't a Pixar movie. It was a Brave Little Toaster, and it was just made by a bunch of people who would eventually join Pixar.
Brave Little Toaster is pretty good, too. Not as good as Incredibles.
Made it film, too. As for the Pixar films, I'd have to think about which one was my favorite. I'll tell you which was my least favorite, and that was WALL-E. I wanted to take that little robot and punt him into the sun.
I was gonna say this. I don't know who they're gonna have as a villain that would be as good as Ron Howard being Syndrome.
I haven't seen Up yet, so I can't really comment on that.
Up is very good. Up is good.
I know what it's about. I just haven't seen it, and I'm not gonna comment on something I didn't see.
That was definitely a good movie. I remember that one had me cry in the prologue. And Pixar.
Everybody says that. I guess I have to say Toy Story 2.
Jonah is going to go into that movie and not cry just to be contrarian.
No. I mean, I didn't cry at E.T. either, and I was 12 at the time. I guess my favorite is Toy Story 2, and I like Toy Story 3 when it was called The Brave Little Toaster.
I like Toy Story 3 as it is. It was a beautiful story, and they ended it great, and I don't need it.
If you saw Brave Little Toaster, you'd say, wait a minute. They're recycling the plot to The Brave Little Toaster. What's going on here? Here's the thing about Toy Story 4. Now, Toy Story 3, no matter what you think of it, wrapped it up with the kid giving away all of his toys to a little girl. What is Toy Story 4 going to be about? They decided we don't want this girl. Comedy. We want to go back to the kid who's in college.
No, it's a romance comedy, so it's going to be about the toys only.
No, and it was written by Nora Ephron, too.
I don't know who it was written by, but that's what I had heard. Early reports was that it was going to be a romance comedy.
Is Little Bo Peep coming back?
Huh?
Is Little Bo Peep coming back then? Is that what's going on?
I don't know. But
I wouldn't mind that if Bo Peep came back, because it's like in Toy Story 3, they just vaguely said, well, she left. She's gone now.
Oh, she was given away or whatever. A lot of the toys were gone.
The actors didn't want to do the film anymore.
I don't know what Toy Story 4 is about, but I hope it's a story about Sid's toys and their nightmare adventure.
No, I think it would be about Sid becoming a hero for the toys. He always seemed like someone who would be a toy maker at some point.
Well, he became a pizza delivery boy in one of the movies. I can't remember which one.
Yeah, well, guess what? I mean, you know how many delivery boys go to there because they need money for their college tuition. And that's the other thing you don't know about, that people don't seem to notice about Sid, is he has a rotten home life. He has very abusive parents.
Yes.
And it's only hinted at. Now, we're not going to talk about Pixar anymore because that's just getting way off track. DC villains, you want to bet that they're going to make the Joker exactly like he was in Lego Batman with a pointy...
Well, I mean, probably.
I would love that.
I figure they'll make him like he was in, what was it called? Suicide Squad.
No, God, no. It's not going to be like in Suicide Squad. For one thing, they already have a precedent with the Lego Joker anyway. And you know what I think? I think it's going to be Joker and Luthor in a story, and they're going to be together, and they're going to go into space.
If you let Phil Lord write anything regarding DC heroes in a comedic setting, he will do good. And Christopher Miller.
Well, Lord and Miller aren't going to work on it, you know. By the way, that reminds me, you know, the film that Lord Miller were kicked off of, the Han Solo story? Mm-hmm. Reports are it is god-awful. It is dreadful.
Well, yeah, you don't have Phil Lord or Christopher Miller on it anymore.
They're on and up, but they have Ron Howard. But the thing is that the lead actor can't act, from what I understand. It's not funny. It's not even brave. It's if you thought The Last Jedi was off, you know, in terms of Star Wars, the Hans, and good because I'm tired. You don't need a Star Wars movie every friggin' year, you know.
Sure you do.
No, you don't. You know what they need? They need to reboot the entire Star Wars thing, just start from scratch,
no.
And, wait, have two television series, one lighthearted, the other one a little more dark and serious.
Yes, that, and they'll call it Caravan of Courage.
They cross over every so occasion so that the dark side isn't so dark and the light side isn't so light. And the then that'll enable you to have people invested in Star Wars while they take 3 to 4 years to make a film. So you don't have a film coming out every year, but you still have the Star Wars story being told on a consistent basis. You know,
I will say this to your point. Star Wars, the Clone Wars...
is tiny. It's tiny.
No, hold on. Star Wars, the Clone Wars and Star Wars Rebels...
Yeah.
Made the prequels look much more interesting because those series were so good.
At least the prequel era, you know. But that's just the thing is that, you know, the Star Wars universe is tiny.
I mean, Asa Kitano
is tiny. You have to have lightsabers, Jedi, TIE fighters, and Darth Vader in some form. You have to have the rebels. You have to have the empire, no matter how idiotic it may seem. Because basically what the new trilogy has done is made the original trilogy pointless. Because what
I
have they
disagree there.
Apparently they did nothing. Oh, remember blowing up the Death Star twice and all those celebrations? Well, guess what? They're still rebels for some reason. That did
because they've lost like 10 planets of their... Republic, and so they've been whittled down instantly to a small amount. Now, I don't like the idea of doing this whole rebel crap.
Then why should I be invested if, in order to keep the series interesting, you always have to have rebels and you know? I'd rather see a movie. Here's the thing.
You didn't do that. The Empire was the rebels in that.
Yeah,
way
I mean, well, it's yours, were, here, then you have the uncomfortable thing about having the rebels be the government and calling the Empire terrorists. You know, it's they can't have that.
At the point where they blow up several planets in one shot, they kind of are.
Well, no, but see, the First Order are the ruling class.
How are they ruling? What are they ruling? They don't have any planets.
Yes, they're the ruling class. They're what's it called? And the Resistance are the rebels. It's still the same thing. They did a soft reboot and told the same story as Star Wars and a little bit of Empire in The Force Awakens. And then they decided, you know what? We're going to stay the course and rehash the entire thing over again. And you know what the third film is going to be? They're going to have to fight a gigantic death station that shoots beams out to destroy planets again. And Kylo Ren and Rey's son is going to worship Kylo Ren and all that stuff. You know, Red Letter Media put it the best. Right now what they're making it is the Saturday morning cartoon in which you have the rebels versus whatever evil dastardly plan Kylo Ren has planned. You might as well have a weekly movie now, because that's all it is. So getting off that subject, why don't we talk about news that makes TJ extremely happy, and he's probably giggling under his breath as he's about to read this news item. Go ahead,
TJ. Oh man, you're in for a shocker.
Really?
Blaze Blue Cross Tag Battle has nabbed a Western release date. Atlas and Arc System Works have superglued a June 5th early U.S. release date to upcoming fighter Blaze Blue Cross Tag Battle for PS4, PC, and Switch. Presumably, the European launch will follow around the same time. The Tag Team Scrapper will feature 20 characters out of the box, while an additional 20 will be made available as DLC sometime after. Will be made a DLC sometime after. Will be DLC sometime after. Why?
Do you ever play Injustice 2?
Yeah, but they didn't tell you right out of the box that there's going to be 20 characters that you're just going to have to wait for.
Oh, yes, they did. There are three fighter packs of three fighters each. Plus, also, you have to remember, you also have those alternate skins that you have to pay for, even if you got the,
it's not even close to the same. You had about 20 fighters in Injustice to start with, and then you got like 9 more that were like added on after the fact. We're talking about a roster literally
sure, you know,
split.
They're not going to stop at 9. Come on. There's going to be more DLC for
but
Injustice.
No. We're talking about a roster literally split in half.
Okay, let's continue the rest of the news item, and then we'll debate this after you've done this.
Blake Belladonna of RWBY fame will be one of the first fighters on post-launch slate. one of the characters that was, I would also like to add, mentioned in the very initial trailers, with others following at a later date. Japan, meanwhile, will be receiving a limited edition of a version of Cross Tag Battle, which features an art book, an all-in-one pack download code, an acrylic standee in a swanky box, and an acrylic standee in a swanky box. If importing is your thing, then you can grab it for 5,800 yen via PST. Blaze Blue Cross Tag Battle features an all-star cast of combatants plucked from the Blaze Blue series, along with those from Persona 4, RWBY, and Under Night Inbirth.
Okay, so stop for a moment before you complain about the DLC. How interested are you in the actual game itself? Because I know you're a big Arch System Works fan.
I was super interested until I found out that they were going to cut the roster in half and put it on a sellable DLC. And they planned this straight from the get-go.
You know what you could do is you could protest about it just by saying, you know, I don't have to buy it day one. I'm just going to wait until the inevitable Game of the Year edition, which includes everything in the system, in the game.
I mean, duh, because Dragon Ball FighterZ is already going to be out by this time.
As I'm saying, yeah, and you also have another Arc System Works game that's going to be out too. I just hope they don't announce for Dragon Ball Z, oh, by the way, you have to wait 5 weeks for Goku. He's going to be part of a DLC pack or something.
This is upsetting to me because this isn't far off for me. Okay, we're 5 months off from the game being released and they're already talking about splitting the roster in half and putting it in DLC. That's not far off for me from Capcom putting its DLC on the disc
yeah.
and making you pay for it.
Which one was that one again? It was
that was Street Fighter X versus, Tekken.
Yeah, right. Where you had to
and
Pac-Man was on
and
the disc.
and Arc System Works has done DLC before, and it's been a thing in the past, but this feels nefarious and stupid compared to like the things
that
they've
Atlas
done before.
Atlas was the one who says that you can't stream Persona 5.
Yeah, I guess it's got to be an Atlas decision to a certain degree, but like it feels particularly off base for Arc System Works because generally
If it isn't something that you think of, or if it's not their usual MO, then you know what's going on.
It really bugs me, like to a very high degree, because a few of the characters that I haven't heard of yet have not been announced yet. A lot of characters have been announced that are probably filling out that 20 character roster, which makes me believe that the characters that I care about are going to have to be things I buy if I want them, and that bugs me.
Do you play Skullgirls?
I did play Skullgirls. I haven't played in a while.
Okay, I was just wondering, because that was one of those games that was that has heavy fan support, and it was mm-hmm. Kickstarter and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, it's a kick-ass fighter. People still play it competitively right now. Like it's one of the better netcode games out there as far as online play goes. I think that Blaze Blue Cross Tag Battle will still be cool. I just am very extremely disappointed to hear that they're taking 40 characters, cutting them down the middle. And
well, here's
making
the thing. You didn't buy Dishonored 2, even though you said you were probably going to buy it day one. So you know that you have the intestinal fortitude just to say, you know what, I'm going to wait.
Yeah, I just wish I didn't have to, because I was really excited to play as, like, some of the Persona 4 characters and Blaze Blue characters on
Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Yeah.
It's coming out in February, right?
Yeah. But like I was really interested in that idea of like basically Arc System Works' answer to Marvel versus Street Fighter, which I think it's still going to do well. I think it's still going to be cool. I just am super disappointed at their dumb business decision.
Okay, but remember, it's probably Atlas, because they've done some shady stuff in the past.
Absolutely.
We're going to move on to the next item. Stardew Valley creator teases multiplayer, and this comes to us from VG2047. Stardew Valley's multiplayer mode seems to be coming around very well. Eric Barone, creator of Stardew Valley, has previously talked about adding multiplayer to the game on several occasions. The most recent update about the feature pegged it for a beta release early in 2018. On Twitter, Barone posted a screenshot saying, 4-player Stardew Valley land party at my house. It's really fun. It still needs some work. The underlying network code is solid. Being in the same room and yelling at each other about what to do next or if anybody has any stone is great fun. Can't wait to share this. The four players were playing on LAN, and it sounds like playing Stardew Valley in multiplayer will be a very active experience. Before we talk about this, you know, anybody miss the LAN experience? I know that there are some people who still do it, you know, but it's still a pain to lug your tower over just to play a LAN game. But there's something about playing a multiplayer game in which everybody is within sight of each other. You know, it's not online. And I know that at PAX, they have the huge LAN things for multiplayer.
I have a very good friend of mine who has a decent PC at his house, and I always have been gaming on my laptop. So generally, when we get together, I'll bring my laptop over there, and we'll do a little semi LAN party where we'll just be playing League of Legends in the same room.
Well, I had two computers. I always used to play Diablo 2 with my friend side by side, or Heroes of Might and Magic.
League of Legends duoing is super easier when you're sitting in the same room, able to like be like, you see this? We should do this.
Communicate. Scott.
Yeah, I have very few chances to do a LAN party, so when the ones I remember were a lot of fun, and it is a lot more fun to play with someone multiplayer when they're in the same room with you, but even over online is still fun.
Or even on same computer, you know, I remember punching being punched in the arm by a friend when we were playing Mule, and I got all the food, and I was weeding out all the money. And just laughing as they couldn't afford my food. And it's like, ha ha ha, guess what? You're not going to have any time to do your shit now. Because I own all the food. So getting back to Stardew Valley, I still have not played Stardew Valley yet. But, you know, having co-op on a game that's like Harvest Moon sort of thing, sounds really intriguing.
Yeah, it could be a lot more fun, too. You can get things done more, perhaps. One person could be farming, another person goes into town, talks to people, or goes down into the mines
caverns,
to...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Help me, I'm being attacked by ghosts. So, yeah, it's very interesting. And, you know, Stardew Valley, when did it come out? Like 2014?
A while ago.
I mean, remember, this is all one person's work. It's amazing. And he's still keeping it going. You know, speaking of which, I still have not played Cave Story.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
I mean, it has some problems from what I understand. You know, that problems that weren't then, but now it's sort of like, you know, it's kind of wonky, but still.
What were the problems?
Oh, just the control schemes and a lot of the conventions at the time that don't really match these days. I still haven't played that game that you've been talking about, TJ, the free game, the visual novel parody game.
Doki Literature Club?
Yeah. I still haven't played that either, and I'm intending to at some point.
I don't know if parody is the right term.
I finally read the synopsis today, and it's frog math.
Frog Fractions.
Yeah, Frog Fractions.
Yeah, I know, but I still want to check it out at some point. Actually, you know what I really want to do is get the visual novel editor and make my own visual novel game. But the one I talked about back on that podcast has gotten some negative reviews, and there are other ones. The only problem is it's also the least expensive, so I have to decide either to go with the least expensive one and not have as great experience, or go for the pricey one and make a really good visual novel. And I'm trying to figure out if I want to make it as Japanese as possible. Which probably a lot of people will interpret if I want to make it as perverse as possible. Hey, you know, there was Linkara reviewed one of the visual novels in which it had a horny dog, which always had an erection and was humping girls and watching them bathe nude and all that stuff.
That sounds terrifying and awful.
Yeah, but it was supposed to be comedy. It was supposed to be funny. Anyways, look for our show notes at gamingpodcast.net, along with our industry news and our gaming history articles. We enjoy feedback, so leave us comments on the blog at gamingpodcast.net. Also, hit us up at facebook.com/gamingpodcast. Subscribe to us on iTunes and leave us some iTunes comments. I am at Jonah Falcon on Twitter.
I am at Johnny Chugs.
And I am at Alpha Shark.
Right, and... we'd like to know from you which games have recently come out that you've heard of and but haven't gotten a chance to play yet? How about you, Scott? Which game have you seen that you're interested in but you really haven't gotten a chance to play yet?
I think that would be Wise 8. I haven't gotten to get that one yet.
Okay. TJ?
What was the question?
What game is out there right now that you really want to play but haven't gotten a chance to yet?
Oh my gosh. There are a lot. Off the top of my head, I would have to say, you know, the Dragon Ball FighterZ beta is going on right now, and I'm not in for it because I didn't pre-order the game. I kind of wish I did, but at the same time, I would rather just have it fresh when everything is ready and working, because people are also having a bad time with getting matches right now.
Yeah, just wait for Game of the Year edition.
I would have said Fallout 4 VR, except of all the bugs that people are reporting.
I think I want to also add Breath of the Wild, because I just have not played that and I really want to. I haven't played.
Well, in order to do that, you have to get a Switch, or you have to get this, or you have to get the, or you have to get the emulator.
Yeah, don't tempt me.
So you didn't get a Switch for Christmas, huh?
No.
That's disappointing for you, I guess. I'm not in the market for a new console, but you know. We will see you next week.
Happy gaming, everyone.
Take care, have fun, play games, y'all.